Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. He loves us. You know, I love it how Timothy talks about God is love. And really, you know, the Bible describes many things about God, but when it comes out and says that He is love, it's extremely powerful. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning. We worship You. We thank You so much for what You've done for us, Lord Jesus, what You're continuing to do in our lives. And I just pray this morning that the blinders are being taken off of our eyes this morning. And Holy Spirit, You have free reign to minister to Your people this morning. We thank You that the Word is anointed. And those things are inabilities or we don't understand, that You'll fill in the gaps this morning, Holy Spirit, and bring things, illumination, and bring light. In the name of Jesus, amen. We will let the kids go. Let the kids go. Colossians 1:13. We're kind of do some recap from where we're at and then where we're going. Remember, last week, we were discussing how, you know, we see Cain and Abel and how Cain killed Abel. And then later it says in Genesis that Cain left the presence of the Lord. He consciously left the presence of the Lord. And then we see that later that obviously Adam and Eve had Seth. And then in verse 45, right at the end of Genesis chapter 4, it says that under Seth and his offspring, that they, that mankind began to seek the Lord. So it wasn't just something where we have two different camps. We see that Cain left the presence of the Lord, and we see Seth, now they are seeking the Lord. And we can also just say, too, that that's really a direct... I just say this, it's been almost like a division of the world and the church. Or we can say too, the Hebrews and the Gentiles. And then later it became the church and the world. So we're always seeing people that are going to be leaving the presence of the Lord and those who are going to be seeking the presence of the Lord. And we have these two different camps, and we've seen this camp, this analogy from that day until now. Cain had the perfect opportunity to adjust his heart, to change some things. But how many of you know that there's just some people, they want to do what they're going to do. They're not interested in changing anything for God or anybody else. You know, this is what I got. This is who I am. I don't want to change anything. And really the Lord came to Cain and said, hey, well, I mean, sin lies at your door. Just make the adjustment and it's okay, right? Because Cain knew what God wanted. The sacrifice that Abel brought, which was lamb, and the sacrifice that Cain brought, which was vegetables, which were a toil of his hand, which was not what God wanted. I just figured out a long time ago, just give God what He wants. That's it. Just give Him what He wants. And guess what it is? It's you. That's pretty easy, right? Cain had a perfect opportunity to adjust his heart, and he didn't do it. He left the presence of the Lord, which is very dangerous. It's not good. Because what do we see in the Old Testament, especially the Old Testament and the New Testament? The presence of the Lord, there's what? Healing, there's provision, there's safety, there's guidance, there's all of these other things, right? The presence of the Lord is just basically the manifestation of who He is. And who is God? Well, He's love, He's provision, He's safety, He's clarity of mind, articulation of speech, there's provision. All of these things are in the presence of the Lord. And so, again, we're not just worshiping this book that we call the Bible, but it's helped us to connect with who is important, which is God. It's just a roadmap, right? And so Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and who has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know, translation is just instantaneous, isn't it? There's no lag time if I'm just translated, right? It's the old Star Trek shows too, right? Where Spock or whatever, the captain, whatever, they were just, you know, beam me up, Scotty. It was instantaneous, right? I didn't really watch too many of this. I wasn't a Trekkie at all. Sorry. I know I have some offended people in here, but anyway, I've kind of watched a couple of them, and I like the beam me up, Scotty was kind of the thing. Was Scotty? What was he, the doctor or the engineer guy or whatever? Yeah, he was the engineer guy. See, I don't know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, but it's instantaneous, right? So we don't have to work for it. We don't have to toil for it. We don't hope and plead and beg and bawl and squall. It's just boom. He is translated out of darkness into, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We are in it, whether we feel like it or not. Isn't that great? And guess what? The devil is going to lie to you all day long about how you are no good, rotten, this and that. And if you're born again, you know, there are days I'll get out of bed and I don't feel born again. This morning, I didn't feel born again at all. I mean, my alarm went off and that thing almost went airborne, right? I don't feel very, but it doesn't matter what I feel like, right? But the world and the church and a lot of everything's based on your feelings. Well, I just don't love you anymore. I just don't feel the love anymore. Really? God doesn't feel the love for me, I'm pretty sure, a lot. And probably for you, right? But he made a decision. Jesus probably didn't feel warm and fuzzy while he was hanging on the cross. But he made a decision, right? So I just get kicked out of people. Well, I just fell in love with him. Really? I don't hear anybody saying that about their kids, right? Well, I'm sorry, we had to give you up for adoption because I just fell out of love with you, right? I just fell out of love with you, which is, for me, sometimes daily, right? If you have kids. Oh. Anyway, right? Love is not an emotion or a feeling. If we can just get out of that emotional feeling, you know, Oprah, lay on a couch, tell me all your feelings kind of mentality, then we'll be in a better place, right? The Apostle Paul didn't feel emotions or feelings there in the book of Acts, where it gives a whole litmus of what he went through. He was stoned, he was, you know, beaten and this and that and in prison and all these, you know, shipwrecked multiple times and this and that. You know, he would have been the most backslidden Christian ever if he walked by his feelings, right? And again, we're not here to walk by our feelings. We're here by faith, right? Last time we talked about, we're doing a recap, Mark chapter 4. And there were four soil types, right? The seed is perfect, which is the word of God. So when I'm preaching here this morning, when I'm saying things, it could fall on, hopefully everybody here is great ground. But we know better than that, that some people, when you put that seed out there, you speak the word, not everybody's going to get a hold of it. Not everybody's going to take a hold of it. And then, so we know the Bible's perfect seed, but then the ground on which it falls, whether it's going to produce or not, whether it's going to stick or not, right? Because we're going to see some of those things where the seed doesn't produce is because of those things. The pride of life, right? Hey, it's nice outside. I'm going to do some boating today. Yay. You know, something else too. Jesus talked was the banquet. Remember? I don't have time to go there this morning. But the banquet. And you know, everybody has excuses, you know, to come to the banquet. You know, Jesus gave that parable. And, you know, some people were like, well, I've got a family. Hey, I just got married. I got this going on. Or some people, well, I've got work. You know, I've got oxen, which is representative work, right? You know, I've got just so much stuff in my life. And there's all these excuses. You know, the interesting thing was Jesus came back or in the parable, oh, I understand. He doesn't, you know, that's the thing. I mean, there's no, Jesus doesn't, you know, kind of wink at things. Like there's no excuse, really. And I think the Old Testament only refers to three excuses for not being in church or assembling together or being in the synagogue, which was war, prison, or dead. One of those three. And that's really it. And so when Jesus talks about the parable of the banquet, saying, go out in the streets, bring these people in, I prepared this food, I prepared this banquet, and nobody showed up. Everybody had an excuse. What did it say? It angered him. It angered the host. So again, Jesus doesn't really, doesn't really wink at excuses. You know, I think about some other things too. We always, you know, the Lord says that we'll have to give an account for every idle word. I mean, can you imagine that? We'll have to give an account for every idle word that we've spoken. What kind of excuse are you going to do that? I mean, he's going to go, okay, all these idle words you've spoken, everything, I'm just going to, sorry. Right? What are you going to account for that? I mean, you look back and I've said a lot of dumb things. So, you know, I'm sure there might be a few more slip out here and there too, you know. So, but how are we going to account for that? There's really no excuse, is there? So again, it comes back to, I've got off on that, but Mark chapter 6, we'll go there. Don't know how far we'll get today, but we're gonna give it the old college try. And this is a repeat from last week also, and I'm going to recap just for time's sake because I want to get moving forward on some other things this morning. But Mark chapter 6, this is Jesus. He's in the boat. He's asleep. And the disciples are freaking out because there's a storm, and Jesus is all sacked out. He's all asleep. In fact, let me turn there, Mark chapter 6. So they're going along. They're in the boat. Jesus is asleep. Not really upset about anything. He rebukes the storm, verse 50, and he says, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. I've got two of them here. This is the account with Jesus walking on the water, okay? So the disciples went out. Jesus was praying the night before. And then all of a sudden the storm, Jesus was walking on water towards them. Verse 50 says, be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. You ever notice that all the time in the Bible, whether it's an angel, Jesus, or somebody else appears to somebody, first thing they say is, it's okay. Don't freak out. Don't get scared. Okay, it's me. It's all right. It's okay. Don't be scared. Now, they were scared and flipped out about this, all right? They were afraid of the storm. Now, I think the interesting thing is verse 52. For they consider, talking about the disciples, consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was what? Hardened. Jesus just did the loaves and the fish the day before. And then the disciples go sailing across the water. Jesus stays and prays. And then the storm comes. And then Jesus sees they're in trouble. He's walking on the water, right? You ever notice that Jesus can see the storm before we can? And you know this, that Jesus was en route before the storm came? Isn't that interesting? Jesus didn't come back and go, oh, well, there's a storm. Well, that caught me off guard, right? No, he knew trouble was coming. And in our lives too, Jesus is right there in the storm. He's with us. But what was the determining factor? Their hearts were hardened because they had forgotten about what? The miracle that just happened. They were focused on the storm. So really think about it. Storms in our life, number one, they're temporary, right? It's passing. It's all in transit. Number two, the Lord's with us in the storm. You know, another account here, we see where Peter wants to get out, walk on the water, you know. And the boat is kind of a typology, right? About man-made. We feel safe in the boat. Even though the storm's going on all around us, there's trouble. Our flesh always wants to stay with what's familiar, right? And sometimes in the midst of the storm, we have to get out and walk, don't we? We have to do some things. Let us say this. You know, if you're ever, for a successful Christian life, if you're looking for comfort, then you will be of no effect to the devil. And you'll never see victories. If we as Christians, we have to take chances. We have to step out of the boat. We've got to do things that are embarrassing. We've got to do things that are illogical sometimes, right? I mean, David going up against Goliath, are you kidding me? This little ruddy kid, little teenager. I mean, the Bible almost is like he's kind of a pretty boy. I mean, he's this really, you know, little guy, fair-skinned. I mean, he's just little, you know. Going up against Goliath, it doesn't sound logical, does it? Right? But no risk, no return. That's what investments. I always talk to people about that. I'm okay. Well, I want a 25% return on my investment, but I don't want any risk. Okay, great, great. Okay, great, great, great. That doesn't exist. No risk, no return. It doesn't mean we have to be risky all the time, jumping out of, you know, skydiving, and we're going to do all this risky stuff. No, it doesn't mean. But it means that sometimes we've got to go against the grain of what's natural and what we think and everything else too, and believe God. We're believers. I like the term believers. I'm a believer. And sometimes we have to embarrass ourselves. Sometimes we have to do things that are, you know, right? I remember several years ago that, you know, the Lord was calling us to go to Raymond, a Bible college, and I'm like, I've already been through college. I don't want to go to another college again. Thank you. No, thank you, Lord. Thank you. No, I don't. No. And so we had to do some radical things. We have to do a lot of radical things in our lives, right? Adrian and I have taken a lot of chances. I mean, we've been on, you know, I mean, it looks like in the natural we're going to go bankrupt. And we just thought, well, we have to do it because on the inside, that's the direction we got to go. And it all worked out, right? Because it was crazy to do it. It just was nuts. It didn't make any sense, right? We had a house. We hadn't sold our house. We hadn't done anything. I mean, nothing. Everything in the natural screamed, you're crazy. And you know what? Our family member said, you're crazy, right? So our circumstances and people around us are saying, you're crazy. But I'm sure glad to be here with all of you today. Yep. Amen? I'm sure glad to be here with all of you. Amen? And I could be hiding out, doing something, have taken the easy road, the easy route, but, you know, we decided to come back into the land of the Philistines and start a church, right? Nobody's laughing. Whoops. But we are the favorites, right? Amen. There's the Jebusites, the Hittites, and we're the favorites. Amen. So, anyway, it is those things where, again, our flesh wants to stay with what's comfortable. You know, we don't want to get out of the boat. We don't want to put ourselves out there because we might get embarrassed. We might not make it. But again, what if we do make it? What if it does work out? That's always kind of my mentality. Well, what if it does work out, right? What if this does? What if this does? What if this does? Right? I'm sorry, Luke 8 was where Jesus fell asleep in the back. That was where I was on to. Let's look at John 14:6. Here's what I want to get to this morning. John 14, verse 6. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. You can write it down or look at it. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto me, unto the Father, but by me. Let me just put something out there for you too. Truth is not just a concept. It is a person. Well, this is the truth. No, it's the person, right? So truth originates from Jesus. Everything else is a lie. Truth originates from a person. So anything that comes from Jesus, that is originated from Jesus, will prevail and will be victorious. I know that's kind of out there. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:1. That's what Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I mean, without the word of God, there's nothing natural, physical in this world anyway, right? Because what did he do? He spoke everything into existence when he recreated the earth in Genesis chapter 1. Yes, recreated the earth again for at least a second time. So we see here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now Jesus is the Word here. Skip down to verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and what? The darkness comprehended it not. This is very interesting scripture right here. Very fascinating. This is actually, theologically speaking, the very beginning of the Bible. I mean, because it's talking about in the beginning. This is like before the earth, before everything. This is like way back when it was just God and Jesus and the Spirit, the Trinity, right? Before angels, before heaven. I mean, this is like way back before everything else, okay? And Genesis 1:1 is just, hey, God made the earth. And then verse 2, hey, there was chaos that happened. And then God steps in and then starts recreating the earth again and then puts us back here on the earth, okay? So this is the beginning. I want to read this from the Message. It says, verse 3, everything was made by Him, including reality. That's interesting, isn't it? Everything was made by Him, including reality. That'll kind of turn your thinker on. Again, truth, He's truth, He's a person, right? So anything else outside of Him is what? Not reality. Verse 5 in the Message, what came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The light, life light, blazed out the darkness, and darkness could not put it out. Yes, we got the lights on in here. At least I don't know. But I've never been to like Lowe's or the hardware store and they got a flash dark. It's always a flashlight, right? Right? I've got my flash dark. I'm gonna make it dark in here. Look at this little beaming dark thingamabobber. It doesn't work, does it? It's impossible, right? How'd you like to go? Hi, I'm not interested in a flashlight. I'm interested in a flash dark. Do you have any of those in stock? Could you get me a couple of those? What? It doesn't work, does it? Right? But then all of a sudden we act like the darkness does take over the light. The world does. And we take this for granted, we laugh at it, and it's just so stupid. But people believe this stuff all the time. And the Amplified, verse 5, and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unresponsive to it. Right? It's unresponsive to it. You ever notice Jesus just didn't have any real, have all these in-depth conversations with the devil or demons or anything? You know? He was just pretty much unresponsive to the darkness. I mean, because it's Jesus, right? I mean, when the devil, he just came along and said, ah, it's written, it's written, and it's written. And then the legion of demons came along and he said, what's your name? Legion, for we are many. Get out. I mean, he is there. It's Jesus is large and in charge in the word, right? And everything else is, yeah, especially demonic. He and the winds and the waves, right? Well, the winds and waves obeyed him because they recognized the voice that created him. You know, we kind of want to sugarcoat things a lot, right? We deceive ourselves. And we always use just, you know, all of these words like, man, I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit, you know, like for myself, I'm a little bit chubby. No, I'm just call myself what it is, right? Or, well, I ate a little bit too much. Or like yesterday we had taco pizza. I was a pig. Let's just say it, right? You know, I can just sugarcoat it all day long. And I ate it, and I didn't eat supper because I was still just in heaven from the taco pizza. So, you know, I was a pig, you know. I just got glutton, and I fell into sin. I had to repent, and that's it, you know. I can say, well, I ate a little too much, or well, this, or well, that. Nah, I was a pig, you know. It's okay. Let's just call for what it is. See, we just want to sugarcoat stuff, right? Right?
Yeah.
You know, or I got this problem in my life. Nah, you just in sin, right? Or I've got this, or, you know, we call them issues. We don't call them sin anymore. We call them issues. Well, I've got this issue. Nah, you're just a dirty sinner, right? I mean, you know, we just don't want to say that, but it is. And see, we sugarcoat things, and that's when deception comes in, because the devil always comes along, or, well, it's really not that bad, or it's not that bad. Now you could lose your, lose eternity over it, right? And, Adrian and I, you know, sometimes we'll talk, and, you know, the interesting thing is we'll somebody will die or something will happen, and the first thing we'll say is, man, I wonder where they're at now. You know, that's kind of, we're always really thinking about those things. And I saw on the news where this lady was, you know, had her husband had murdered her supposedly. And it was on the news there. And she had some pictures of herself, just really risque looking and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, where's she at? You know, I mean, it's really terrible to think about that. But we can sugarcoat things and go, well, you know, she's in heaven now, and she's a proof's in the pudding, guys. You know what I mean? It's just, it's hard to, and my heart breaks for these people that, you know, awful things like that happen. But you always come back and think to yourself, where are they at now? You know, because guess what? We just read it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we don't go through Jesus, there is no other way. You know, and we can usually tell. I mean, guys, I mean, unless there's, you know, and we don't know, we can't judge people, but sometimes you could pretty much tell the fruit of some people. You know what I'm saying? If their Facebook is all about, you know, bottles of Jack Daniels in both hands, drinking it, you know, and everything else. We've got an idea, okay? I'm not Einstein, but I got a pretty good idea what's going on in your life, okay? You know, I don't have to be Mr. Sherlock here, but I can kind of figure out. And out of the abundance of the Facebook, right, the mouth speaking, right? So we can pretty much got it. You know, I always like these people. You ever notice the people on Facebook? I'm going to take a little side journey here, too. You know, I don't know, you know, it's like, okay, your grandma's probably watching you. Other people are watching you. But I'm putting the most crazy, ridiculous stuff of myself on there. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, do they not realize that everybody's watching what's going on this stuff? You know, like the most crazy, ridiculous drama. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I mean, I'm whatever, because I'm never really on there, but I just don't have a play. But anyway, when I was on there, I always laugh at some of these people that, you know, you're putting that on Facebook for everybody to see. But again, I don't know, who am I to think these things? But anyway, the point is this, that, you know, in our lives, we can see people's lives. We can often, again, we can see a gauge of what's going on in their lives. And the point is this, that when we're born again, excuse me, when we're born again, our outward nature should change. Hello? There should be some kind of a corresponding action with that. You know, people will say, well, you know, Pastor Brent, you know, it's not by works, it's not by that. Let's look at Ephesians 2 real quick. Let's go there, Ephesians chapter 2. And while you're looking at Ephesians chapter 2, well, I'm going to just read Ephesians 6 here for a moment. I want to say this too. You know, and there are some people who may even be here this morning, and you're like, I have no idea what you've been talking about. Like this whole story. Stick around. Things will begin to soak in. I remember when I first went to our church years ago, Jubilee, some of the things just went right over my head. I had no idea what they were even talking about. But you know what? I kept coming back, and things began to make more sense. And I just encourage you, just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. It'll begin to soak in, right? I mean, can you imagine those people sitting around Jesus' day? I mean, probably some of them are, Jesus is so relatable. But then even the disciples were like, I am not getting this. You got to help us with this. And then Jesus was like, are you kidding me? You didn't get any of this? And then he take the time to explain some things to him. You know, and so in Jesus' day, the disciples were just kind of, this isn't registering, okay? And we're not getting this. So, you know, they had to hear it multiple times from Jesus just to get it too. So again, Ephesians 6:12, and it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers in the darkness, right? So we're not wrestling against just mere people, influences, but there's spiritual forces behind the scenes. I remember years ago, I was reading about this guy that he had his eyes, spiritual eyes, opened up, and he was in Africa. It was funny because it was probably the same scenario that I was in, but he said his eyes were opened up, and the Lord showed him as a discerning of spirits, gift of discerning of spirits, which means you can see into the spirit realm. And I've had that happen to me on occasions, but this guy, the Lord showed him that all the spirits that were basically influencing people at the time. So he said that he opened it up, and he goes, every person had spirits following them, influencing them to do things. He said, I saw, now when I was in Africa, because he was in Africa, it was the same scenario, they had these little motorcycles all over the place, so you'd pay people to basically get a taxi ride on the back of a little motorcycle, right? So, and also bicycles. So that's big in Africa because not everybody's got cars there, but they got these little small little motorcycles they import from China. Anyway, so he said, I saw on the back of motorcycles, there'd be people riding, there'd be demons, like basically riding on the back with them. There'd be angels riding with people, demons riding in cars with people, angels, that they would be with these people all the time. And it really kind of opens your eyes to think that no matter where we're going, there's spiritual forces trying to influence us one way or the other, right? So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And so we as believers have got to understand that. But I thought that was really kind of kind of interesting to hear him talking about that. And there's also another book that Adrian's been reading. It's called The Veil. And that's kind of interesting too. Again, these are people's perspective. You know, some of these things that we don't base our lives off of people's experiences, but it's kind of interesting, and we have to make sure it lines up with the Bible, right? So we don't just take somebody's, I had an experience. Oh, well, great. I do too when I eat chili. So, you know, I mean, what kind of, right? We all get kind of, have all our little experiences, right? So, you know, and I've, you know, when I eat ice cream, I feel good too. So, you know, I mean, it's, come on, where's our experiences? But we got to make sure it lines up with the Word, don't we? Okay? Not just, I had an experience. Yeah. So again, rulers of darkness. So Ephesians chapter 2, I'm sorry. We'll start in verse 8. Now we as believers, we got to get beyond ourselves, right? We have to take chances. We have to do some things. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, but we also have to come back to this point. By grace, we're saved through faith. Guys, it's grace. It's God's ability, His empowerment that we're saved. There's no question about it. And then it says right after that, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And then the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wants to make sure that we know that it's not because of our works or we can boast, right? So God clearly defines that and says, you know what? Salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do, and you're not going to get bragging rights for it, right? Because we're all just filthy rags, okay? But here's the next part, verse 10. For we are workmanship, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Here's where religion and our, I'm going to say, belief system, we cross. Religion says that we have to do things in order to earn something. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, does it? The Bible teaches that God's grace has empowered us to be saved because of His gift. Because of that, then we do good works that He has foreordained or He has destined us to do. Does that make sense? So religion always wants to come back with the works mentality. You've got to be good enough, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this to earn salvation. No, the Bible teaches just the opposite, right? That, you know, I heard somebody yesterday talking about Billy Graham, and Billy Graham emphasized that he was a sinner and he was saved by grace, and I can see both ends of it. The news announcer said, "Well, he wasn't a sinner." Right, he's saved by grace, but he was a sinner. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Even though he isn't a sinner now, but the world's viewpoint is, well, you know, Billy Graham's a good person, and he's good enough. But they're not measuring off of, Billy Graham is measuring his standard off of Jesus Christ, not what he can do. And see, the world thinks that Billy Graham is good enough. And Billy Graham is saying, I'm not good enough, Jesus is good enough, and I'll never attain that without the grace of God to help me fill in the gap, which is Jesus, right? And see, the world system is all about, well, you know, Billy Graham was a great, and he was, right? Amazing person. But Billy Graham will even say, hey, I had shortcomings. He's very humble, very, you know, amazing man of God, right? And the thing I just get concerned about, too, sometimes that, you know, people, well, he was Baptist, he was this. Hey, he was doing the work of God. Amazing fruit, you know. And a lot of people don't know this. Oral Roberts was a Methodist. You know, he was not Pentecostal. Even though he was in the, you know, so a lot of people, well, he and Billy Graham were very good friends. Oral Roberts, but Oral Roberts was ordained Methodist. But he went to the Methodist Church and organization and said, well, I want to be ordained with Methodist, but I'm not going to change the healing aspect. And they said, don't change a thing. Just continue to do what you're doing. Again, it kind of throws our mentality tilt, doesn't it? That how can we don't think of that the Methodist denomination producing somebody like Oral Roberts, but he was Methodist. Now, did he probably function like most Methodists? No. But the point is that it's part of the body of Christ, and he's producing some stuff. Amen? And I want to produce more stuff. And I hope you do too, right? Because God's got a lot of things for you to do. He's got a lot of things for me to do. And it's not the all-star game where, well, you know, if you're not a big shot minister or you're not on TV or you're not behind a pulpit, no, absolutely not. I got a lot of people saved just by giving guitar lessons, baptized in the Holy Spirit, on the job. Are you kidding me? Got a lot of people born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, probably as many as I did on walking the streets. And I need more, right? I don't want to camp out and say, well, that's good enough. Now that's the flesh. That's the flesh. We don't want to do that. So again, we're saved by grace. And because of the grace of God, he puts in us, then God says, okay, because I put my grace into you, now you've got to produce and do some good works for me, right? And then all the people want to scream, works, works, works. No, God wants to see something produced. You got to understand, the world is going to be judged because of their sin. We are going to be judged on our works. So yeah, we will be judged for it, what we did, what we produced in this life. Not that we're born again or not. See, the world, they have to answer for every sin that they've committed. How'd you like to do that? Stand before him and then have to answer for every single mistake and every sin that you've done, you know? I always had this this big image on Judgment Day. There's like a big screen. Comes down and then God's over here. And then he's like, okay, you want to answer for that? Ooh. Okay, what about this? Oh! Right? And how about this? No, God, please, just. Oh, my goodness. Right? How about that? But that screen won't apply to us if we're born again. Isn't that good? He's like, I don't remember any of that stuff. It's all gone. But you do need to answer for the silly thing you talked about. You also need to answer for all, did you do what I told you to do? Right? That's the main thing. We need to be careful of that. We need to. And you know, the great thing about it is when you come to church, when you get into the Word, when you pray, when you get hungry for God, those things that he wants you to do will become clear to you, right? Seek ye first the kingdom, and then what? All of these things will be added unto you. Not just things, but then all of the things he's called you to do. And called doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to Africa, I'm going to the Antarctic, I'm going to go preach to the penguins. No. It means that what are you to do, right? I mean, one of the callings right now is just, I mean, said it before, I've had some of the most amazing experience with God. I obey God was when I was scrubbing toilets and, you know, blowing snow for the church and doing things like that, just serving him. I didn't want to become a pastor. I was like, no, thanks, God. I got better things to do, you know. I was happy giving guitar lessons, doing things, you know. I was happy with that. Going to work every day, had a decent home. No desire to do anything else. And then all of a sudden, but you know what? I have more joy and fulfillment in doing what he's called me to do rather than what I want to do. Because what I wanted to do was be on the road. Never be at home. I always wanted to travel. You know, be a musician and travel and do things. And it was like, mm-mm, you're not doing that. Okay. But again, it comes back to, are we bought with a price or not? I mean, if he really owns you, see, everybody wants to say, Lord, Lord, meaning Savior, Savior. He's my Savior. I got fire insurance. He pulled me out of hell. But then when it comes to, you know, either paying my tithes or, you know, obeying God or witness to somebody doing something like that, or, okay, now I need you to do this. Oh, I'm good. Thanks, Lord. Lord, I'm not hearing you. Our reception is now, you know. I remember. I hear you all loud and clear for all the blessings coming in, but all of a sudden, Lord, are you talking on a walkie-talkie? I'm losing connection, Jesus. Help me, Holy Spirit. Oh, I just lost you. Okay, back to football game. Or, you know, some other things too. We'll close here. You know, many people think that the pastor's going to do everything for it. You know, part of the process of growing in the body of Christ is for you to help grow other people with you. It's part of it. You know, I've been in churches too where everybody expects the pastor to do everything. You know, every little bump and bruise. Would you pray, pastor? And I'm happy to pray. Not say that it isn't. That I'm not, because I'm definitely happy to help. But you know, here's a great thing: when you mature, when you pray, and you get the answer yourself, that's where you want to be, right? And you know, I've been in churches too where the pastor's really controlling, and everything else too, and everybody goes to the pastor, and then all of a sudden the pastor's out of town or something. Where'd he go? You got the Holy Ghost, right? You got your Bible, right? Now, granted, when you're a baby, you kind of need, you know, some help, but why not just, you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, right? You can do something, right? They're always happy to help. You know, I always laugh at these people too. They'll get in these conversations with people and they'll start talking about how spiritual they are and everything. At the end of the conversation, would you pray for me? Okay. Yeah. I just heard about you walking on water and doing all this amazing stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like, I got a bump on my knee. I need you to pray. So, amen. I mean, we get the, it's just funny. I laugh at those things. So, anyway, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. That's like serious stuff. But anyway, you know, all this amazing stuff, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, would you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray, you know. So, hey, I'll take people praying for me all day long. We definitely need prayer. We need to, you know, especially the book of Ephesians at the end of the sixth chapter, it says that we pray for all saints, right? So we all need prayer, and that's pride where you think you don't need prayer, because I'll definitely take people praying for me all the time. But the point is, we mature and grow when we see our prayers being answered, right? Things happen. And I can pretty much go through and I can tell you time after time after time after time where prayers have been answered. I've petitioned the Lord, and things have happened. Amen. So, you know, it was just funny because we were, you know, blessed with a vehicle recently. And, you know, somebody came along and I think I was sharing it like a week or two ago, but they were like, we'll give you this much money for the car. And I just said, they left, and I went back to the Lord prayer closet, and I'm talking to the Lord. I'm just doing it. I said, Lord, I'm thankful for this, but I want it all paid for. I don't want to get in this big debt. I don't want to do anything. I don't want it all. Lord, I need it done. Next day, called up. I believe we'll take care of it. Right? So it is communing with the Lord, you know, because here's the whole thing. It's you'll have what you'll say. And it's a relationship with God, meaning this. I can come back and we can, you know, because here's the temptation. You know, you can always sit back with the Lord and go, oh, okay, well, that's great. Yeah, we'll do that. And then we'll get in this massive debt. We'll do everything else. Okay. But that's not what I wanted. And it doesn't mean that I'm not grateful. But my faith and expectation is here. But I can also go to the Lord and talk to him. 25 years ago, I couldn't do that. Right? Because, and it doesn't mean you have to wait that long. I'm not saying that just, but I'm saying my relationship with God wasn't like that before. But I had to grow and develop in some things. Right? Because 25 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, yeah, oh, baby, yeah, I got, woo. And it was a sizable amount of money. But it wasn't what I was believing for, and it wasn't what I was petitioning for, right? People would say, well, that's just ungrateful. No. This is what I'm believing for, right? This is a car we want. I want it. I don't want debt. I want it paid for. This and this, right? I didn't go to that person and say, you know what? You need to up the ante. I'm sorry. You did this much. Would you double it? Would you triple it? Right? No, I didn't do that. I went to my source, the one who does provide for me, and talk to him about it. Because my faith is not in Jehovah Posta. Sorry, Dwight. Or this person or that person, or I'm going to just, you know, I was in Bible college one time, and somebody was talking, and they said, we were there, and they said, you know, I'm really believing for lunch today. I'm really believing for lunch today, you know? Okay. Would you like to go to lunch? Right? Hello? That's not how faith works, right? Now, sometimes if you need things, it's okay to ask. I'm not saying if you have a relationship with people, we're not saying those things. But, you know, we get the old, you know, I really like this car. I really like, we can drop hints all day long. But the point is we have a relationship with God. Amen? And for us to believe in him, we got to have a relationship with him. Hello? Now, again, why didn't the disciples receive and have faith in the storm? It's because they were offended and they had forgotten about what? The loaves and the fish the day before. And I remember a guy at Rhema one time, somebody got up and testified that he gave his car away and God just blessed him with a brand new car. So guess what? He did the same thing the next week and he walked for like months. Okay? So you got to have faith in God. We've got to be believers, but we can't base our faith off of what somebody else did, right? Okay? Now, I've had about 5 cars given to me, and some people haven't had any. I think I've just got the car anointing. I don't know what the deal is, but I'm kidding. Where is that pastor with the car anointing? What chapter and verse is that? Yeah, it's called the Book of Job. That's where it's at. No, I'm kidding. But the point is this, that, you know, there's other people who have had houses given to them, or this or that, or it doesn't matter. But it all comes down to your faith grow. Now, I've done things and believe God for certain things. If you need a car, you can believe for a car. I can believe with you. But again, it's all what the Lord, your relationship with him, getting together with him, having faith in him, trusting and relying on him. I can look back and say, you know what? He's given me, you know, multiple cars. He can give me it again, and it happened again. And, you know, right? But I don't get in front of church and go, you know, I'm really believing for a new car. And I've had people, too, where, you know, if you're sitting, I don't know how come I'm getting off on all this stuff. Now, we as a church body, if we're saying we're believing for this, then we corporately are believing. You know, we are together raising money, doing things. We need, you know, chairs or whatever. You know, that's one thing. But, you know, I've had people that they've gotten up and they've said, well, I'm really believing for a new car. I'm believing for this or I'm believing for that. And all of a sudden next week, you know, God provided. Now you made it known to everybody, right? There's nothing wrong with that, especially for the church here. Or if we, you know, bring somebody up and say, hey, this person has a need. Does anybody have it? Or they, you know, feel led to do something. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we get up and say, you know, I'm really believing for a car. I'm really believing for this. Then are we really going to God and believing it for ourselves? You know. But then there's another thing too, making requests known unto God. And I don't know how I got off on all that. It's probably for somebody. But the point is this, that we can just believe God and receive from him. Amen? Amen. We don't have to complicate things. We don't have to, you know. And sometimes we've had situations where just like this vehicle thing, it looks good and we can have a testimony. Yay, we got this for this car or anything else. And then you're thinking, but wait a minute. That's not what I'm believing for, though. Mm-mm. No. Thank you, Lord, for that. But this is what I'm believing for over here. Amen. I prayed for people. Oh, they're born again. Good. Now let's go on. I'm going to help believe with them. They're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. right? Because we as believers shouldn't just shortchange ourselves all the time, right? Right? Especially if you're looking for a spouse or something. Well, you know, they're breathing and, you know, they hold a job and, you know, they're good enough. No. No. Believe God. Amen? Believe God. Not to say that we're, you know, we need to have this perfect person, because guess what? You look in the mirror, you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. But the point is this, we need to have a standard, we're going to believe God, then believe God, right? Just, I mean, there's one thing too of, you know, I like old cars, and if you like to drive old cars, great. And one of my cars is 15 years old now, and it runs great, keeps running, and I'm going to keep driving it for a while longer. But, you know, some people, they're believing for a rusted-out Chevy. Well, then go for it, you know. But if you're believing for something else, I like Chevys. I'll tell you that right now. Or Ford or whatever it is. That's. But then on the other hand, if you're believing God, say, you know what, I'm just going to believe God for something better. I'm going to believe God for whatever. Well, then do it. You know, I just encourage all of you, if you don't have a faith test or something out there that you're in faith for, you really need to do it. You really just need to get a hold of something and say, you know what, I'm going to believe God for this, whatever it is. I'm going to believe God for a new couch. I'm going to believe God for this. And it doesn't mean we are greedy. It doesn't mean we're self. Just get a faith assignment today and determine something. Say, I'm going to believe for a newer car. I'm going to believe for a better car. I'm going to believe for a new couch. I'm going to believe. Just figure something out this morning and do it. Also, I'd encourage you, just start, when we're ministering to people too, just push yourself beyond it. Say, I'm going to pray for somebody today. I'm going to minister to somebody today, right? I'm going to believe for money to be able to take somebody out for lunch today. Begin to stretch yourself. Because if you don't have any faith, if you don't have any faith assignments, you never see anything come to pass, you can sit back and go, well, my prayer is never answered. Well, if you're never believing for anything, you'll receive nothing. You should always have something that you're believing for all the time. Hello? I mean, we just believed in a car. You know, there are other things that I'm believing for, right? Hello? You should have a faith assignment going on all the time. Like the car. We were like, well, praise God. That's great, you know? And like, we celebrate. Testify of what God has done for us, and then now we're moving on to other things too we're believing for. Does it mean that I'm great? No, it just means I can sit back and exercise my faith on something, right? My goodness, just believe God for lunch tomorrow from somebody. Just start doing something. Exercise your faith. And raise somebody from the dead while you're in, right? You think I'm joking? Nope. Do it. You know, pray for somebody, you know? People working in the hospital, you guys got all kinds of opportunities to pray for people, or you know, if you're ministering to people, whatever that is, wherever you're at, begin to have faith assignments, and then you know what? Try to push yourself out there so you do kind of on the edge. Amen. Because you know what? It's not that you're getting the car. It's not that you're getting these things, and we in the world, people think carnal. People think that we're self-centered and everything else. It is to testify about what God has done. That's it. Your testimony. Hey, you know what? I was sick. I got healed. Hey, I prayed for this person. They recovered. Hey, I needed a car. God brought me a car. Hey, I needed a better job. Boom, it happened. Hey, this happened. And you can testify, right, of different things. Because the world just doesn't compute about giving things or believing God or receiving something from somebody. They just tilt. They just don't get it. But God's a good God, and He wants us to have good things. He wants us to have nice things, right? I mean, if you have a problem with nice things, you are not going to like heaven. I'm just going to tell you right now. You're going to freak out when you get up there, okay? The streets are made of gold. I mean, what a waste. I cannot believe this. Lord, the streets are made of gold. How dare you? Yeah, you're going to have a coronary when you get up there if you have a poverty mentality, right? You know, hello? We need Tupperware, lit. We need Tupperware. We need to save these things. We need to recycle. We need to do this. We need to do that. All the green people are going to freak out in heaven because there's just so much waste. It's all right. My cup runneth over. Amen. And this is the thing too. The world has a poverty lack mentality, and God has a my cup runneth over mentality. Amen. So, so you know what? I know people may freak out. I can get a big old SUV and get like 1 mile per gallon. And you know what? There's more oil where that came from. Amen. I'm not a poverty mentality. I don't want to get 1 mile a gallon, but the point is this, that my God is more than enough. And, you know, I mean, they're talking about we have more oil reserves and everything else too, and they're finding more every day. And you know what? I believe God put the oil there because he knew we were going to need it. Hello? Because he knew them old boys and girls are going to be driving cars someday and everything else. So I don't know how I got off on all that, but it's just our changing our mentality. Amen? Having a faith assignment, believing God for something, and then coming back and say, look what God done. Look what he did for me. Amen. It doesn't mean you're greedy or anything else, but exercise your faith. I remember Pastor Hagin talking about in class one time when I was there. He said, I would just believe God for lunch. It's him and Miss Lynette had nothing, and they were, you know, associate pastors at the time, and they weren't getting paid hardly anything, and I think they were living in a van down by the river, but they were living in a garage, so pretty close. Her dad's garage. So they didn't have it all, but it was a form of exercising their faith. Begin to stretch yourself. Begin to believe God. Do things. Amen? Amen. And I got all kinds of stories where, you know, now I'll close with this, and people may flip out, and I don't care, because I believe that God is a supernatural. I remember, and I've told the story before, I remember we were believing God just for some extra money. We were just driving. It was about 10 o'clock at night. We pulled into the gas station, and I told him, I said, we just need like about, it'd just be nice. I just believe we just kind of like $80 right now. And I got out of the car, and there's a $20 bill. And the whole parking lot was empty, so there was nobody there. So it wasn't like I'm taking money from somebody, you know. Like I found a wallet. Oh, the Lord just blessed me with $300, right? No. But the point was, there was these crisp $20 bills. And when I picked one up, I looked over, and there was another one there. And I turned around and seen one. And there was it was exactly the amount of money I was believing for, right there on the spot. And it just came out of my mouth like 5 minutes before that. Well, that's just chance. That's just, come on. I mean, I've had things where it's just like literally, it just came out of nowhere. Literally came out of nowhere. And, you know, because he's faithful, right? Not because I'm God anything or I'm anything special. It's because I serve somebody special that is always watching over me. My needs are always met. He's always blessing me. He's always there to take care of me. I don't know how come I got on off all that, but it's sure good. I don't take any of it back. Father, we just come before you. We thank you that you're a good God. You love us. You care about us. You want to provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know, we serve a fantastic God. He is wonderful. I just say this too this morning that, you know, you can come to church and there can be a religious aspect of it. And, you know, some churches, it's just all ritual. But I not only believe the word, but it's livable. That it is livable. That we can experience God. I mean, I talk to the Lord every day. He and I have a conversation like you and I would have a conversation. It's training your spirit, man, to hear his voice. It's wonderful. And you can go before him without any shame. Well, Lord, I don't want to bother you today. I don't want to put you out. He's waiting for us to ask him. He's waiting to give us things. Like your kids, those of us who have kids in here. You are excited to give them something. Why is God any different than you? In fact, the Bible says that we, being evil, know how to give good gifts. How much, what much more does he give those whom he loves, right? Man, he loves you so much today. He has so much passion for you this morning. He loves you so much. He wants to know you on a greater level. He wants to talk to you. You know, the God of the universe that created everything is interested in you. He is so interested in you. He's interested in what you think. He's interested in just, you know, things on your heart, things that are bothering you. He wants to take it all away. This morning, if you need prayer for anything, we always want to give an opportunity for that. You know, if you want to come to Jesus, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever what it is, we want to pray with you this morning. Always want to give you that opportunity. You know, we maybe went a little late this morning, but it's good. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Friday night, have some powerful discussions in here. Good things that are going on. You know, just to be able to come up, and I just want to say something too. You know, especially on Sunday mornings and Friday nights, you know, it is good. I will just say this, that we're always here to pray for people. But, you know, for Sunday mornings, it's for corporate prayer, because you're sowing prayer for other people too. You're sowing prayer for the atmosphere here. You're sowing prayer to pray for other people. And that's powerful. I don't, the hours I've spent praying just for people, the church, the anointing, just those things that, amen, we can always pass it off on somebody else. Well, they'll pray. Well, they'll pray. They'll pray. Well, what I was like when I was in gym with Jim Hockaday, he said, I'll pray, I'll pay, I'll obey. I'll pray, I'll pay, I'll obey. I'll do all three. We always confess all the time in prayer school. I'll pray, I'll pay, I'll obey. I'll do all three. We always said that all the time, right? Because we're going to put it back. Well, somebody else will pay for that. No. Somebody else will pray for that. You know, somebody else will go overseas. Somebody else will witness to that person. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. I've had people that have died that I have not had family members that I didn't witness to. They died and went to hell. And I thought, you know what? That is not me anymore. When I know people that are on their deathbed, I've gotten where I'm in the middle of my sermon for Sunday morning, and I've gone to people that have not come to this church, who are not believers. I've walked in while they're dying, prayed for them, got them born again, and came home at about midnight and finished my sermon because they need to be born again. I vow to God, I will never let somebody else that I know that is on their deathbed go to hell because I'm too lazy to do anything about it. Never again. Never again. And I've done that several times where I've walked, they're on their deathbed, they're in ICU or something else. They died 2 hours later after we prayed. So again, I'm busy doing a sermon. Yeah, good excuse. I like to get on the other side and Jesus say, okay. No, he's not going to say okay. It's just all of us taking our share, amen, taking our responsibility for our part, amen, praying for our neighbors, coming here in corporate prayer on Sunday morning, praying out the plan, praying for people to receive, being a Bible study. Just again, it's just that hunger level, going to the next level. It's just what you desired. What you'll have what you'll say. You'll have what you desire. You'll have whatever you want. Whatever level you want to go with God, that's what he will give you. That's what you'll have, is that same level. Amen? Praise God. Friday night, 7 o'clock, be here, or, yeah, be square. I don't know. Yeah. 9 o'clock, we got Bible study and prayer. It's good stuff. Amen. Gary told me where we're going. It's good stuff.
The life you gave, your body was broken.